or CertSecurity.com. I'm Rob Westervelt. You're listening to a special edition of Security Wire Weekly, reporting from the Black Hat Briefings in Las Vegas. In this edition, web services security expert Brad Hill talks about the growing threat to web services and the lack of research on the topic. Brad is a principal security consultant at IT security consultancy ISEC Partners. At Black Hat, Brad demonstrated a tool that could be used to secure SAML messages. That's an XML standard. He also identified how easy it is for an attacker to exploit holes in web service protocols. Explain what WS security is. Is it really widely adopted at this point?
I think it's one of the most common choices for organizations that are deploying secure web services. A lot of web service deployments at this point are still internal. There's not a lot of external facing to the world secure web services yet, but it's getting there for some B2B endpoints and communication between service partners. So it's not huge market penetration yet, but it's kind of being positioned as the foundational security technology for the new generation of web services applications and new enterprise applications.
What's your take on SSL?
SSL is a great technology. It's a proven standard that's been around and gone through its paces and several versions and revisions to get it to where it is, and it's very solid workhorse technology. I think that it's not as sexy as it used to be. Everyone does it, and so it's not what you're going to be hearing from vendors who want to sell you the newest thing, but used correctly, I think it still is a great protocol that can meet most of the needs of the organization's typical organization security deployment without a lot of expense and hassle and configuration.
I spoke to one expert who said that a best practice is to use a combination of both SSL and WS security.
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly apply, especially an XML signature to a message being sent over an SSL transport if your application demands that. And things like the single sign-on protocols, Liberty, SAML, WS Federation, use exactly that model, where the browser is making SSL communications to two different servers and then passing along a security token that's been digitally signed in order to, you know, and that prevents the browser from tampering with it in transit. So that's a pattern you can use when you have multi-actor systems, and that's where it becomes especially important. But if you're just talking about sort of end-to-end systems, a service talking to a client, in your typical B2B scenario, you don't necessarily gain a whole lot from layering like that, and it can have performance and complexity impact.
And I suppose that's the reason why there isn't a whole lot of people using the combination of both, is there?
I mean, yeah, it's just getting to the point where all of these different vendors are interoperating on these standards. Because they are so complex, it's taken a while for that to shake out and get the first kind of interoperability testing done. The performance impact is not insignificant either, so people so far have shied away from it, except in cases where it's really enabling a new kind of technology like single sign-on in the web.
A lot of vendors have been hyping XML gateways as the end-all be-all of web services security. What's your take on XML gateways?
I haven't had a chance to look at them yet. I mean, there's only so many hours in the day, and these are expensive appliances. I'd love to get a chance to, and I'm going to start working with the OWASP Common XML Gateway Evaluation Project. I think that there's a lot more research that needs to be done on these kind of technologies. There are some issues I've seen with time of check, time of use, with basically if you parse the message at one point at a gateway and then you parse it again in your application, you need to make sure that both parsers are working with the same rule set and they both have the same understanding of the message. And with these complicated formats, I don't think there's been a lot of testing done or evaluation to make sure that all the parties involved have the same understanding of what these formats are and what the security assertions mean in the same way.
Let's talk a little bit about the threat landscape. What's the threat landscape like for web service protocols and web services?
Well, right now it can be pretty serious. The advisories that ISEC published in the beginning of July showed arbitrary code execution with anonymous invalid signatures. You could just send a message to one of these endpoints that were consuming these signatures and run any code you wanted on the affected server. And so if you have, say, a SAML assertion consumer for your single sign-on, that's your point of identity management. That's one of your most critical systems in your whole enterprise. If I can take over that system with a single message, I can then, you know, authenticate and take over the identities, essentially, of anyone in your system that's using that gateway as a point of trust. So these are, like, really the single sign-on systems and these security assertion systems are, you know, the crown jewels of the enterprise and access control. And so it's very important that these issues, not just around the code execution, which tend to have been fixed, but some of the denial of service issues I raise in my research, which haven't gotten a lot of attention, I think need to be taken more seriously.
Do companies get web services and get web services security? I mean, does the management of an enterprise really understand what's going on deep down into in the systems there with these protocols?
I don't think they do. I think there's been very little attention so far as far as sort of the practical pen testing, practical security review of the type that ISEC does paid to these protocols. In doing my research, I wasn't able to find a single published advisory against any of these technologies, even though there are 18 different implementations from a variety of vendors on a variety of platforms and languages. They're all incredibly complicated systems. I find it incredible that there are no published bugs or vulnerabilities against any of them until my work has come out. And I think it's just the complexity of it, the changing of the landscape has made it something that just, even though these are the incredibly important foundations of enterprise security nowadays, they just haven't gotten the attention they deserve yet.
Why? Is it because it's so technical that a lot of researchers don't want to take the time to delve into it?
I think the complexity is part of it. You know, there's just the patience it takes to kind of go through all these specifications in detail, and it's sometimes tedious work. It's not the kind of glamorous pen testing and security work, finding bugs. And most people don't expect to find bugs in these systems. They are the security protocols. They are the security systems. They're written in what we think of as safe languages like Java and .NET. And so I think a lot of people have just glossed them over. But when I went looking and dug around under the covers, I found that there were some surprising issues. You know, I'm able to use simple exploits to attack multiple vendor systems completely reliably, even in systems like Java that should be safe.
What drove you to look into this area for research?
Well, I was looking at some applications that were using web security, and there were no tools available to do any of this kind of testing. So I think that's another part of it, is there's no tool support yet for intercepting and playing with these protocols, because the implementations themselves are still so new. So I was looking at developing a tool to enable some of this kind of more advanced security testing, and as part of that, I had to get a good understanding of the specifications. And it turns out that they were not as robust as they ought to be.
Now, you mentioned about this tool that you demonstrated a tool that could be used to secure SAML messages. Talk a little bit about what this tool is, and also, what is a SAML message?
A SAML message is, SAML stands for Security Assertion Markup Language, and it's an XML message that an identity provider can log into an identity provider, and it can give you this XML formatted message that you can send to another person, and that person can then verify that you've logged into their trusted identity provider. So this is the basis of a lot of the web single sign-on systems. And the tool I've released is called SAML Pummel, and it's basically just a very simple tool, plugs into the WebScarab testing proxy, and allows you to perform some anonymous injection attacks, damaging the structure of the XML signatures and seeing how your SAML consumers handle these assertions. So you can test your identity systems and make sure that they're not vulnerable to some of these most basic attacks. The full tool I started this research with, I'm still in the process of developing. It's a pretty complicated project. Again, I think that's why some of this research hasn't been more widely done by other people. There just isn't the tool support yet, and it's not a trivial thing to build.
Been the response thus far? I mean, and have some researchers come out to take this on?
You know, I've had a very positive response from within the security community, but I'm still not aware of a lot of other people doing research in this area. There are people that are kind of championing message-oriented security and championing these technologies, and the XML security gateway space is an interesting area. But I still think I'm pretty much pretty much alone in this field of research for now. I hope that doesn't remain the case. I'd like to collaborate with some people and see some more attention paid to this important area.
What's it going to take?
Well, I think if I can get some time to work on this tool and finish it up, having some more visibility, getting some more eyeballs in there, and making this accessible for people to start examining and playing with these protocols is going to be a big first step. Until you have visibility into something, it's really hard to, you know, get a lot of scrutiny, and the barrier to entry right now is just really high. So,
is it also the fact that a lot of enterprises are in the early stages of SOA deployments? Is that also playing into this at all?
Well, I think certainly it's the case that for a lot of enterprises that are rolling out SOA now or have been rolling it out as part of a project, say the last 5 or 6 years, they've been kind of on hold on the security story in a lot of cases. They've been deploying it to internal networks. They've been using network partitioning and sort of, you know, traditional network-oriented techniques to secure these systems and not using protocol-level security systems. They've been waiting for this interoperability. They've been waiting for this WSecurity to arrive. And it has arrived, but it's really still first generation. And some of the vendor stacks are very robust and very secure and do a good job. And others are not, as my research has shown. And I think that, again, the denial of service risks are the ones I think that are getting the least play. Arbitrary code execution has been fixed to an extent. The worst of it certainly has been repaired. But if you're a big financial company and you're, you know, running your entire trading system off of a SOA infrastructure internally, if you're a company that relies on a single sign-on identity provider to gateway access to all your systems, and I can send you poison pill messages that disable these systems, you know, with a few lines of code, that can cost you millions of dollars an hour to have those systems unavailable. So I think the vendors need to continue to step up and address some of the complexity issues and put in some better protections against these denial of service type attacks.
Are there a lot of financial services firms that are in that predicament?
Well, I think the big attraction of SOA is for kind of the big global enterprises that have a lot of disparate systems that they want to integrate. That's the big promise and benefit that people have really found from SOA thus far, has been creating these, you know, internal message buses that have standard interfaces that allow you to, you know, assemble with standard tools and integrate all of these complicated systems. The value proposition for a smaller company, you know, with a less diverse set of systems isn't as great, and so, you know, SOA is really kind of a big player type technology. And if you have the infrastructure to utilize and need SOA, then that infrastructure is worth a lot to you. And you need to make sure that it's available, the kind of third leg of security that gets the least play.
You talk about vendors. What kind of vendors are you talking about? Are you talking about security vendors? Are you talking about big infrastructure vendors? Are you talking about vendors like SAP or a vendor like Oracle?
It's going to be the big infrastructure vendors, you know, the big infrastructure vendors that are selling these, you know, whole systems for doing SOA architecture, you know, so the Suns, the IBMs, BEAs, Microsoft, you know, those kind of companies are all pushing solutions in this space, SAP, and they're not all at the same level of security maturity at this point.
And how do you expect this to evolve?
Well, I really like to take a look at these XML security gateway appliances and see how they stand up to some of the attacks I've developed, and see if there's some work to be done as far as setting policy there and enforcing security policy around these kind of attacks, and also making sure that you have consistent interpretation of these messages at every level of the system where they're being used. And there's a group being put together with the Open Web Application Security Project, OWASP, at OWASP.org. And I'm going to be participating with that group. And we have some some vendors that are interested in participating. And so I think that's probably going to be a good first step, is to get some more collaboration among the people that are building these systems with the security expert community, and get some of these systems under test.
Have standards been really fleshed out at this point? Are there enough standards out there?
There are standards, and there are standards for the standards, and there are competing standards for the standards. So if anything, we have too many standards, and they're too complicated. I think coming up with some simpler ways of expressing some of these policies and not trying to build everything up front for any possible system and then, you know, correct and constrain after the fact. I talked about order of operations a lot in my talk as far as it relates to vulnerabilities. I think it also relates to how the standards are developed. Big working systems come out of small working systems, and we'd be better off to start with simpler specifications, simpler models, and add complexity as needed. Once you've built all this complexity, it's really hard to constrain it and take it away.
What's the problem then, in terms of from a vendor point of view? Is there a lot of proprietary information that's in play here that's causing these issues?
Well, one of the vendors I found that were most vulnerable were all utilizing Xalan, which is an open source XSLT processor. Xalan. And this is the issue here is that these systems are being built by composing them out of lots and lots of different pieces. And when you do that, when you have all these complicated pieces in play, you have to make very careful that sort of the security assumptions of all these pieces match up, that the threat models all match up, and that they're all assume the same thing about the environment. And that's a tricky proposition inside of a major sort of commercial type software organization where you have a single chain of command and a mandate to do this kind of analysis across all your components and every one of your dependencies. In an open source world where you're importing projects that are maintained by different organizations, maybe maintained by volunteers, and kind of putting these into your critical processing pipeline, there's not the same communication infrastructure. There's not the same mandates to make sure that security matches up, make sure that as you add features to these components that it doesn't break someone else's thing down the road. When the digital signature implementer started with XSLT in 1999, it was probably okay. There were some denial of service risks, but it wasn't the arbitrary code execution I demonstrated. But by the time 2006 had rolled around, the developers of those components had gone their own direction, and they might not even have known that they were being embedded in a digital signature product somewhere else. So keeping all of these dependencies in line with these incredibly complicated systems we're building today is a big challenge, and it's a software development management challenge that we don't really have a handle on.
Well, that ends this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our Black Hat news coverage, including other podcasts, at searchsecurity.com/blackhat. As always, you can get the latest news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.